Father's Day 2015. It's great being a dad. Yes, I have on my traditional Father's Day t-shirt. It says Dad and Me. Has little handprints. My kids gave this to me a long time ago. At the time, but they've grown a lot more since. They've grown more than I have. So it's great being a dad. It really is. And I know, as all dads know, kids go through phases as they're growing up. And there's that wonderful, adorable phase when they're such little ones that just looks to dad and says, my dad can do anything. My dad is Superman. There's nobody stronger than my dad. There's nobody smarter than my dad. And then from there, it just kind of goes downhill. Amen? I was reading chronology of a life, and it goes something like this. When I was 4, my daddy can do anything. 5, my daddy knows a whole lot. At 6 years old, my dad is smarter than your dad. At 8 years old, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. At 10 years old, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things were sure different. At 12 years old, naturally, dad doesn't know anything about that. He's too old to remember his childhood. At 14, don't pay any attention to my dad. He's old-fashioned. 21, my dad, he's hopelessly out of date. At 25, dad knows about it, but then he should because he's been around for so long. And then at 30, maybe we should ask dad what he thinks. After all, he has a lot of experience. At 35 years old, I'm not doing a single thing until I talk to dad. At 40, I wonder how dad would have handled it. He was so wise. And then at 50, I'd give anything if dad were here now so I could talk this over with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. I have a short video I'd like you to see right now. It's a simple video about being like dad to kind of illustrate a little bit of the importance of being faithful men. Can we show that video?
Grandpa do that too? Thank you. you're alike, aren't you?
Dads, I want to challenge you this morning to be a faithful father. Be a faithful father. Be the kind of dad that your kids will look up to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's our challenge today as well. This is specifically talking to leaders in the church to commit also to the word, to other faithful men who will continue it on. But I believe the application is applicable for fathers passing on the word to their children as well. We need faithful dads, faithful men. I read Proverbs 20, verse 6 a little bit ago. It says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Who can find a faithful man? You will not be a good dad until you are a faithful man. And thank God we do have some faithful men here today among us. But we could always use more. This world could always use more. Our country could always use more faithful men. Three things this morning. First of all, be faithful in the small things. And then we'll look at be faithful in the secret things, and then be faithful in the sacred things. Be faithful in the small things. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Jesus was saying that we need to be faithful in the small things. If we are faithful in the small things, we'll be faithful with the big things. We'll be faithful in the important things, in the really big things in life. Be faithful in the small things. Let me give us a few small things that we need to be faithful in. One is the small things of finances. This is one area. Jesus said in verse 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," and this is another word that he's using here for money, material things. If you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So fathers, be faithful in the small things of finances. Let me give you a few ways that we can be faithful in finances. First of all, do not love money. Do not love money. Now, many times people mistakenly quote the Bible, and they often say that money is the root of all evil. Amen? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't love money. I remember when I was leading the youth department here at IBC a number of years ago. I feel like I'm really making noise. Am I too noisy? What? Want to swap? Can I have another mic? If I start feeling like I'm making noise, it must be pretty noisy. Because is that any better? Pretty good. I remember when I was leading the youth here at IBC, there is sometimes when it came time for some of the young people to enter into university, it was often the parents that said to them, "No more going to youth, no more going to the Bible study, no more going to a life group," because they had to study. Study was important. Why? Because money was more important than the Lord. They had to study so they can do well and they can get a good job and make good money. And I want to tell you something. That was teaching something. That was teaching something to those young people. And some of those young people are not in church anymore, are not walking with the Lord anymore, because they learned from mom and dad that money is more important than the Lord. Don't love money. Don't owe money. There's another small thing. Don't owe money. We live in a time when character doesn't mean a lot in the financial world, but Christian man, I encourage you to watch your debts and pay your debts. Watch your debts. Now, I know Romans 13 says, owe no man anything. All right? But this is not necessarily referring to any debt whatsoever. But it's not paying a debt that is agreed upon. There's a difference here. For example, I believe it's not a sin to have a mortgage. In fact, I think it'd be impossible to buy a house in Auckland without a mortgage. But it's not a sin to have a mortgage. But I encourage you, don't borrow more than you can handle and pay back the agreed upon terms. To not owe anybody is to be behind, is to be not keeping up with the agreement. Be generous. Be generous. Having less debt means you're able to be more generous with it. Give to the Lord, absolutely. Be generous with the Lord. And also be generous with those in need. Be able to help others as God has blessed you. So be faithful in the small things of finances. Another area of a small thing, and I say small kind of tongue-in-cheek, but be faithful in the small things of your marriage. The small things of your marriage. Men, the Bible gives us a picture of what faithfulness is to look like. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We know this verse, right? There we go. Say it with me, please. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So here's the example. God told us how we are to love our wives, to be faithful to her. Be faithful to your wife. You know, adultery is the ultimate act of unfaithfulness. A marriage can survive adultery. Adultery can be forgiven. But I want you to know that it is such an act of unfaithfulness that it cannot go without scars and it cannot go without great difficulty. Be faithful to your wife. And I would also suggest that we don't have to necessarily commit a physical act of adultery to be unfaithful. Some have love affairs with other things in life. Love affairs with work, love affairs with sports, love affairs with other things that become more important and more precious than your wife. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful in the little things of your marriage. Be faithful in your thoughts. In your thoughts, don't entertain thoughts that are unfaithful to your wife. Be faithful in the small actions. Be faithful in small actions. Man, I have worked with other guys before, not here at the church, I just want to make this clear. I have worked with other guys before that they're very, how do I put it, loose with their actions in the workplace. A little flirtatious, just having a bit of fun. And I urge you, men, be faithful to your wife in the small things, in your actions at work, in your actions when you're out on a trip somewhere. Be faithful in the small things. And the third way we can be faithful in the small things is be faithful in the small things in your family. It's true, the heart of every little boy rests in the hands of his father. Every broken promise, every abusive word, everything tears a small hole that isn't easily mended. Men, our children need us desperately, don't they? Your children need you desperately, and I challenge you, be a faithful dad. Read through the Bible, read through especially the Old Testament. You often see that It makes reference to children following in the footsteps of their parents, their fathers in particular. Be it good or be it bad, we see oftentimes the children come after them, and they do and perform and live just the way dad did. Be a faithful dad. One of the worst things, I suppose, that a father can do is to walk out on his family. This is a crime that a man of God, a faithful man, cannot commit. Don't be an absentee father. Maybe you're not walking out on your family, but don't be an absentee father. You may be an absentee father if you're home late every night. You never spend time with the kids. If your career keeps you from getting involved with your kids' lives, or if you don't have time or you don't take the time to build your relationships with your wife and with your children, don't be an absentee father. There's a saying, and it goes like this. It says, Dad, to the world, you might be just one person, but to your children, you just might be the world. You are important. Your life is important. Your example is important. Be a faithful father. Be faithful in the small things. The second thing that we're to be faithful in is the secret things. Be faithful in the secret things. These are the things that you do when no one else is around, no one else is looking. What you are in secret is what you really are. Be faithful even when nobody is watching. Be a faithful man, be a faithful father when no one is watching. Psalms 139, in verse 7, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" This is a rhetorical question. David knew the answer. The answer is nowhere. He was saying God is everywhere. God sees everything. There is nothing secret before God. And then a few verses later, in verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me." So he invited God to examine his secret parts, the secret parts of his life, the secret parts of his heart, and says, "God, search me. There is nowhere I can go that you are not. There is nothing secret from you. There is nothing hidden from you. So God, I want you to search my heart." Men, be faithful men, even in secret. Be faithful men in secret. And thirdly, be faithful in the sacred things. Let me give you a few examples of what the sacred things are. The first is be faithful to the fellowship. The fellowship. That is a fellowship of believers. That is your church. Be faithful men to your church. Your children are going to grow up seeing your faithfulness to the fellowship, the faithfulness to your brothers and sisters in the church. They're going to notice this. They're going to watch it. This means the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we are to be faithful to the fellowship. I believe that we ought to be in God's house regularly. It ought to be just a way of life for us. I grew up in our home, and I'm thankful for it. Whenever there was something on in God's house, whenever there was something called for in the church, we were there. When the doors were open, that's when we came. We were part of it. And I thank the Lord for that example, for that faithfulness. Love the church. Love your church. Love one another. Your church is a vital, important part of your life. And your children are going to be watching your example. Love the church. Labor in the church. Give yourself to the church. Give your energy to the church. Give your talents, your abilities for use in the church. I heard about a preacher in a small town. He would come in early on Sunday, preach to the church, and then leave later, not until after the p.m. service. Arriving early one Sunday, he sat down at a local coffee shop, opened the Bible, and began to go over his sermon notes for that Sunday. A man was sitting down at the counter from him and said, "Are you a preacher or something?" He replied, "Yes, I preach at the Baptist church just down the road here." The man got excited and he said, "Hey, I'm a member of that church." Well, the church was a very small church, and the preacher knew all of the regulars that were there. And so he said, "I've been preaching there for quite a while now, and I've never seen you there." He looked at the preacher kind of strange and said, I said I was a member of the church. I never said I was fanatical about it." We need men who are fanatical about their church, faithful to their church. Be faithful. Be faithful to the Word of God. Again, in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Hide God's word in your heart. The word of God should be a part of who you are. And the more of the word of God that you have in you, the more that you recall when you need to, the more that it permeates your life, the more that it replaces the rubbish of the world. Put the word of God in your heart. One of the greatest gifts you can give to your family is to be men of the Word. Men of the Word of God. How are we men of the Word of God? Well, first of all, men, give your soul to Jesus. That is, you have come to Him in faith and you trusted Jesus to save your soul and to be the Lord of your life. Dads, your children need men who are saved, who love the Lord. So are you saved? Are you born again? The Word of God tells us all have sinned and fallen short. And has there been a time in your life when you've acknowledged before God, "I have sinned. God, I have sinned. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me." Have you come to Jesus to save your soul? But then secondly, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God. Present your body is a living sacrifice. Give your life to Jesus. He comes first above all else, above all your ambitions, your dreams, and everything else. Jesus comes first in your life. Be men of conviction. Men of conviction. The truth of the doctrines, the teachings of the Word of God. Give yourself to study of the Word, to know the Word, be a part of your church's studies and your church's Bible programs and fellowships. Be discipled. Be men of conviction. And finally, I want to urge you, men, be faithful to the finish. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul writes to the young preacher in chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul was at the end of his ministry. And he says, I have run a good race. I have fought a good fight. I have been faithful to the end. That's the testimony I want to have at the end of my life. And I hope that's the testimony you want to have at the end of your life. It is important to start right, but it's even more so to finish the race right, to end the race right. There was a race that the Greeks had in ancient times. Now, during our Olympic times, at the beginning of the ceremony, you all know they have people run with the torch, right? And they run all around this designated course to get to the place where the games are going to be held, carrying the torch. And it's imperative that that torch stay lit. And the Olympic flame is lit with that torch. Well, that particular tradition comes from this race that they ran in ancient Greece. And the winner of this race was not necessarily the one who finished the race first, but it was the one who finished with the torch still lit. The one who finished with the torch lit first was the winner. If someone was in front and they finished first, but they didn't have their torch lit any longer, then the winner would be the next person. If they still didn't have their torch lit, the winner would be the next person if their torch was lit. I want to run all the way with that torch, with the flame still lit for Jesus Christ. I want to finish the race well. And men, I hope that that is your heart too. I hope that is your heart. Be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in the secret things. And be faithful in the sacred things. I'd like to invite you to stand with me at this time. Every head bowed, eyes closed for just a few moments, please. In a few moments, we do have some special things that we want to acknowledge our fathers with. But right now, let's have a private time. Men, have you given your souls to God? Have you given your soul to Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure that you are truly born again? That your sins have been forgiven and you have a home in heaven? Jesus Christ is your Lord. Is that your testimony? If that's your testimony, let's see it with a raised up hands. Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. Amen. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord for that. And I praise the Lord for each and every soul that comes to know Jesus Christ. Is there any here who may be uncertain about that, that would acknowledge, I'm not sure? Can you be honest enough to say, I'm not sure if I am saved? I'm not sure if Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Pray for me, Pastor. Is there anybody here like that? Just pray for me. Pray for me. Okay, men, I want to encourage you this morning to make a commitment in your heart that I'm going to be a man of faith. I'm going to be a faithful man. I'm going to be faithful by the grace of God and by the power of God. I'm going to be faithful in the small things. By God's grace, I'm going to be faithful in the secret things. What I do, and when no one else is looking. And by God's grace, I want to be faithful in the sacred things. The church, the Word of God, the fellowship. I want to finish the race well. I want to go to the end well. This is my commitment today. Will you make that your commitment? To be faithful in the small things, in the secret things, and in the sacred things. If that's your commitment, Will you let that be testified with a hand? Amen. Around the room? Is that your commitment? Amen. Praise the Lord for faithful men. Men, I'd like to pray for you and pray over you at this time. I want to ask God to bless you, to enable you to do the work that God has given to you and entrusted you with. So as this is Father's Day, I'd like to ask all the fathers, if you're a father, please come up to the platform. Come up to the platform with me and stand with me if you would. We have a few things that we would like to give to you, but first I want to have a word of prayer over you. So fathers, I invite you, come up to the platform. No, my camera. This one's bitter. All right. What a handsome group of fathers. Of course, this includes fathers who are even just expecting. I don't know if we have any of those yet. So if you don't have any children to hold yet, but you are expecting to be a dad soon, you're more than welcome. I have with me a couple of special gifts before we hand out the gifts for all the dads. A couple of special gifts that I'd like to give to a couple of fathers. The first gift I would like to offer to the father who is the newest dad. I don't mean the youngest, but the newest. That is, you have the youngest child or one that is on the way. Okay? So, I can rule out a few of you guys, but... okay, we have Pastor Chad actually is pretty new. February? February what? Second week of February. That's a pretty new dad, isn't it? Is there anybody that can beat that? Anybody have one due in March or later?
I can make one.
Archie's like... Thank you, Dan. Okay. Well, with that, I think we'll let Chad have the prize. Pastor Chad, congratulations. Didn't deserve something. And the next one we'll give out to the dad who, let's say, has the most great-grandkids. No, the most grandkids, how about? Okay? How about the most grandkids? How many grandfathers do we have here? Raise your hand if you're a granddad. Okay, let's start from there. My dad, how many grandkids? 10 grandkids. Okay, with a great, that makes 11? Okay, we gotta have a brand new great-grandkid. By the way, my dad is going to be leaving in a week or so. Week and a half, and they're going back to the States to visit their first great-grandbaby that was just born a couple of weeks ago, so exciting. So we have 11 here. How many, Robert?
Nine
only. Okay. Others?
12.
Wow. Okay. Anybody beat 12? We have 12. Going once? Yes. How many grandchildren? Three? Son. Three. Okay, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. But we have 12 over here, going once, going twice. Well done, brother. Congrats. Okay, and we have some gifts that we'd like to give to all the fathers. Excellent. These are special Father's Day mugs. Not only a mug, but a lovely handmade, homemade cookie. Pardon? Made in China. Oh, yeah. She said Jenna, not China. Jenna helped make these cookies, my daughter. So anyway, everybody gets one of these. And so when you drink your coffee, when you drink your tea, remember your church. Remember your church. Remember this day. Thank you, ladies. Here, Alan. What are you looking for?
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we also have specials for our dear pastors, Pastor Ken, Pastor Chad, Pastor
John,
and
Mike.
So, man, yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream. Thank you so much. Oh, lovely. Huh? I want another bag. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Let's give our fathers a hand. Amen. We love you guys. Let's all stand together and let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessings upon these men on this platform. Father, I thank you for these men that are standing with me. Lord, you've given them all a task to be the fathers and grandfathers and even great-grandfathers. Father, I pray that you would equip them for this task. May they be faithful men, faithful in the small things, faithful in the secret things, and faithful in the sacred things. Lord, we desperately need more faithful men in this world, in this city, in this place. Father, I pray that you would equip them beyond their own abilities, that they would lean and rely on you and rely on the Holy Spirit to direct their lives. I thank you for them and help them, Lord, about the work that they have to do in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, men. Please take a seat. We have a few announcements, I believe, that we have to go through before we're dismissed. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Take his.
All right. Thank you for the message this morning, Pastor Ken. And thank you, men, for the special gifts, all that was done this morning. It was a good morning. On your announcement bulletin, if you have that, just look on the inside. We have a few things that we'd like to share with you that's coming up. Remember, as we said last week, we have some retreats that are coming up for this springtime. The first one that we have in the bulletin is the ladies' retreat. That takes place on the 16th, Friday the 16th and the 17th of October. That's going to be down in Rotorua. And so, ladies, if you're interested in coming along to the ladies' retreat, please see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, and she has...
Many other ladies.
Okay, so if you want a carpool, if you're gonna go down to the retreat and you need a lift, just see Miss Jennifer about that, and she'll be working on how many people's going and how you can get down there. We also have the marriage retreat coming up. This is the one that's hosted here by our church. It's for our church members, and we have 16 places that was available. Now, some of those places have already been taken. For example, all of the motel units have already been taken up. That was the ones that was at $200. So the $170, it's not a lodge. Villa. The villas, that's four bedrooms with a combined lounge and a combined kitchen. Those are still available. We have a few spaces left on that. We also have some of the brochures out in the information desk. So if you're interested in coming along and you just want some more information, we have the information packs. The theme of the marriage retreat is called Fit for Marriage, Strength, Intensity, and Endurance. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get together and we're going to talk about what it takes to have a strong marriage, how to increase the intensity of the marriage, and then, of course, the endurance. We also have, you'll notice on the schedule when you get the schedule from the back, we also have a morning boot camp session, 7 o'clock. So those of you who are already signed up, it's too late to back out now. Boot camp session, 7 o'clock. That's optional. The same with Saturday morning. We're going to do some exercise for our body as well as we do exercises for the marriage. So that's coming up in November. And then we also have the Young Adults Retreat, the Young Adults Conference that's coming up. That's later on also in December. And so for the young adults, if you haven't signed up for the Young Adults Retreat, this is down in Hamilton, and Matt and Chandra Randall are in charge from IBC's group going down for that. So if you haven't signed up for that, see Matt or Chandra, and they can give you all of the details. I think we also have some brochures and things. Is that right, Chandra? Oh, where is Chandra? She must have went to the back. I think we have some brochures and things as well for that one, for that retreat. And then also we have junior church. We're always looking for those who are able to assist in junior church. So if you're interested in working along and helping out in junior church, see Pastor Chad about that. And then coming up at the end of this month, it's the 31st anniversary of International Baptist Church. That's the 27th of September. Now here's something that you need to know about that anniversary date. We're only having one worship service. It's the 11 o'clock service. So all of you who normally come along on the early morning service, we're all gathering at 11 o'clock right here, one big worship service. So we'll bring extra seats in, and it'll kind of be jam-packed in here, but that's okay. That's the way we like it for the anniversary service. You'll get to see people from, maybe from the other service that you haven't seen in quite some time. And then we're also having a lunch right after the service, so a good time of fellowship. You'll be asked to bring something from your culture, your home, that you can share with not only your family, but others here from the church as well. I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share this morning. Other than our missionaries, we're praying for Robert and Ruth. Recently returned back to their ministry back in China, so continue to pray for them. And then also, just something by way of reminder, we received a letter this week from Mina and Miguel. Do any of you, well, some of you probably remember Mina and Miguel. They came a couple of years ago. They stayed here with us at the church and around the area for a few months. She was trying to get residency here for their family. She became pregnant. They had to go back to Portugal. And they sent us a letter this week addressed to all of us here at the church saying that they've got this residency worked out and they're going to be joining with us here in January. So something to look forward to. We'll post the letter and all just back here on the bulletin board, and that way you'll be able to read the letter in full. So continue to pray for their family as they make this transition here into New Zealand, that we can welcome them into our fellowship as well. Before we're dismissed, anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday from today through this Saturday, or maybe someone that in the last week or so that we've missed? Anyone celebrating a birthday? Kevin, come on up here, Kevin. Kevin Dean. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? Anyone with a birthday? How about wedding anniversary? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Wait a minute, is there another birthday? Is it Noah? Noah, come on up here. He's shy, he's saying, I don't know. But, oh no, it's not Noah, it's Lily. You were pointing at Lily, I thought you were pointing at Noah. Come on up here, Lily. Happy birthday to you. Anyone else with a birthday? Any other birthdays, wedding anniversaries? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed. Happy birthday.
birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Well, men, have a great Father's Day and enjoy your cups at home this afternoon. And remember to be faithful, men. Faithful with the small things, the secret things, the sacred things. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer and have some fellowship time. And we do have Bible study that begins at 10 o'clock. My Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray, Lord, that once again, you would just be with these fathers among us today. Thank you, Lord, for the children that you have given to us, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful men, faithful in all things, and may we be faithful to you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. I got a pair of socks with mine.
You got a pair of socks? Nice warm ones from Kathmandu.